certain things with you and go over a maimer that he said on Tefillah, which is a wonderful maimer. But before we begin, I think it took 10 years for Avshach to convince him to leave Gateshead. I think it took 10 years. He didn't want to leave Gateshead. Eventually he went to Lakewood. At the Hespedim, here in Yerushalayim, in Bet Shemesh, one of his great Yedidim, someone called Reb David Cohen, Wash Koilel in Chicago, said as follows. Reb Matisyo left Gateshead to come to Lakewood. He was the Mashgiach in Lakewood Yeshiva. He then, after a few months, became the Mashgiach of all yeshivas in Lakewood, all yeshivas. After a few weeks or a few months of there, he became the Mashgiach of all Moistas HaTorah in Lakewood. He then became the Mashpiah of all Mekomos HaTorah in New York. Unbelievable. He gave a shiur twice a month in YU, can you imagine, from Lakewood Yeshiva. He spoke to the Hasidim in Williamsburg. He spoke to the Chalabim in Flatbush. Unbelievable koyach he had. Tremendous koyach. He was out of commission for about 10 years. He had a stroke 10 years before he died, Nebuch. But I had him in Gateshead for many years. He was the focal point, which I really wanted to explain to you, is the greatness of what Matteo was. He had remarkable siyata dishmaya to say the right thing. He was unbelievably focused. He had finger on the pulse. When he said something, it was astonishing how accurate he was. Let me give you some examples of what happened. Just take some examples, and then we're going to do the maima on tefillah, which I'd like to show you. When Rabbi Victor Miller had died, so the Leviah was outside the Mir Yeshiva, and everybody came and said their hesped, and Rabbi Matisyahu turned up at the end, and he said as follows. He said that Avigdor Miller was the epitome, if you know the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam brings down what was so unique about Avraham Avinu. Kevan shenigbal eisam zeh, when this little boy starts nerding, haya tamia, haya shoitet bedaita, he was a floating thinker. That's exactly the translation was. Avraham Avinu was a three-year-old, would wander in his mind and think about maybe it's the sun, maybe it's the fire, maybe it's the sky, maybe it's the sun. That's exactly who Rabbi Victor Miller was. He was a child of Avraham Avinu. He was unbelievably accurate. He hit the point. I think out of all the Hespedim, he had tremendous siyata dishmaya. I mean, I speak in different places. The biggest problem is finding the right thing to say at the right time. And he had unbelievable siyata dishmaya. There was a Bocha Nebuch in the Mir Yeshiva, who was a tremendous mastiff from Manchester, and he died in the bathroom. They found him in the bathroom. Incredible tragedy he was. And it was a tremendous mastiff. And it came to the Shloshim, where Matisyahu happened to be there. He happened to be there at the time, outside in the courtyard there. Matisyahu came along, and this is what he said. Parents were standing there waiting to hear Divrei Nechama. Matisyahu turned around and said, how did the Malach HaMavos take David HaMelech? He was always thinking in Torah. He rustled the trees, and he was distracted, and then he could take his neshama. That's exactly what happened with the boy, he said. The boy was in the bathroom. He couldn't take the boy any other way. Unbelievable accuracy. You know? The point fitted, to make a chazal fit to the situation. Tremendous siyata dishmaya, which he said. There are many stories which I want to share with you, but I want to first of all go over a maima with you, which is on tefillah, but I'm only going to give you this on one condition, that you cover your hand up on the last two paragraphs. I don't want you to look at the last two paragraphs. I promise you won't look at the last two paragraphs. You can look at the first two, but not after that. Because I want you to think about what you're looking at. Don't look at the last two paragraphs. Rafi, you're looking.
Hold it over.
It's as bad as
do not.
Paris story on Shabbos. No, Friday night.
Don't look at the last two paragraphs. Here we go. Ready?
What?
Listen to this.
No, he wasn't able to finish the story, so he couldn't do the following.
Ready? Cover up from the last, after we have honor, don't answer. I want you to think for yourself, that's why. I want you to think for yourself. You can look at the first two. You can't look at any more than the first two.
Three.
You can only the first two.
Oh.
You must cover up. Don't look at the last two paragraphs. You'll see why in a minute. Last three. Don't look at the last three. Here we go. This is a maim which he said on tefillah, which is phenomenally accurate. It's so focused and point. The Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer, Shnayim Sha'olu Lamita V'chulian Shadah. Two people Nebuch were sick, were dangerously sick, and they had the identical illness. V'chein Shnayim Sha'olu L'gadam, and two people were Chayiv Nisa, Doni Moisam V'nafash Tachiga, V'din On Shadah, and their din was exactly the same. They were identical people. Ze yored bezele yored. One recovered and one didn't recover. Ze nitzo bezele nitzo. One was safe on Mises Mothers and one was not safe on Mises Mothers. Why did this one recover and this one didn't recover? And this one was saved and this one wasn't saved. One davened and was answered, and one davened and he didn't, wasn't answered. One answered and one wasn't answered. Why was this one answered, this one not? This one davened a proper tefillah and he was answered, and this one did not daven a He didn't daven a tefillah shleima. His Rebbe was Rebbe Eliyahu Lapian. Two people are identically sick. And the Berkim said, I'm sorry, we have no idea how to help you. And their din came out that they were chayev. Can you ever think, are we trying to make them never daven properly? They both daven properly. You're trying to tell me they were thinking other things than they were davening? You can't tell me that. Both of them were dangerously sick. Both of them were chayav misa. So why was one answer? Why was one answer? How can you say they didn't have kavanah in their tefillah? What's the answer, Rabbi Yitzhak? Why was one answered and why one wasn't unanswered? That's the question that Matthew Yo asked. What's the answer?
You say previous generations
double. But they both dabbed with Kavanah Shleima.
Okay, but was one
Kavanah
Spurious because of previous generations?
Unlikely. They both dabbed the same Kavanah.
But that has nothing to do with what happened to previous generations.
What does Tefillah Shleima mean? What does Tefillah Shleima mean?
Could it mean that they didn't follow proper procedure for dabbing? They didn't have proper...
You can't say they didn't daven with kavanah. They both daven with kavanah.
The other preparations such as...
They got distracted.
How could he get distracted? Rebellion said they couldn't get distracted. What's the answer? Dobbin, what's the answer?
I don't know, because we're knocking out any material difference between their tefillahs. So something else.
What is it? And here is finger on the pulse. This is
what
Matisse
Yol. One prayed for the other one.
What does it mean to fill a shlema? Think about the civility. He would hit the point. This is what Matty said. He would hit the point perfectly. What's the answer? Simcha, what's the answer? Why wasn't he answered? They both daven with kavanah shlema. What does it mean to fill a shlema? Nothing.
Their set of circumstances were different.
And they weren't. They're both.
But. What they did and all their other factors in life could be very different.
It's unlikely. If they're both dabbing with tremendous kavanah, they're both in the same matzah, one was answered one. What does it mean to fill a shlema, Rabbi Yitzhak? What does it mean to fill a shlema?
You give your whole self over to Hashem.
The other one didn't? Tefillah shleima.
He said the other one didn't.
It wasn't a proper tefillah. He didn't daven properly.
Shleima means...
Only during tefillah. Maybe only during tefillah he was able to give over the...
It's hard to say that. The rest of the time
he was...
Hit the point, my boys.
I think what Nachum saying that it's also depending on one's masim. It's not just tefillah.
It's unlikely to say that.
No, one was concentrated.
And the other one wasn't concentrated. He didn't concentrate.
That's what it says here. It's tefillah shleima mitkaven.
Why? The other one didn't concentrate? Yeah, he was distracted in the middle of davening?
Yeah, it could be. Everything.
We're agreed they were materially the same. The tefillos were zelazah. They were, you know, equal.
Right.
So
What's the difference?
Is the question
perfect? This is what Matthew's got. He hit the point. Right, bullseye. What's the difference between Tefillah Shleima and not a Tefillah Shleima? What is the point? This was what you would listen to.
Come on.
Must be kavanah of
some kind of kavanah.
What's the kavanah?
Ah, okay, that's a good question.
Oh, what's the kavanah?
Selfish kavanah. You're just thinking.
They weren't thinking. The other one was thinking L'shem Shamayim. Of course, it was L'shem Shamayim.
We just agreed. There's no material difference between their tefillah.
No difference.
None.
even where they were in their minds, in front of the
think about your davening, Eliezer. Think about your davening. What makes a difference in your davening if your davening works or not? What makes your davening work?
I'm talking to Hashem, Mamash. That's what you're doing when you stand there,
right?
Thinking what you.
And the other one was thinking about other things. Like
so, what was it?
What does it mean, Tefillah Shleima?
Or his kavana was faulty in some respect.
I would listen to Rav Matisyahu, and he would sometimes make you like you stare at him and aghast at it.
He says, "Perush Rashi, Tefillah Shleima is miscovering. He had kavana. He mentions it here.
They both did.
We've already established, no less than twice, that
their tefillahs are materially the same.
Right.
So something must have been different between the two.
We can't break out any difference between them.
You want to hear the answer now? Okay, gosh. Open up then. You give up.
We get the prize. What
do you mean? This is what Elias said. They definitely daven with kavana.
They didn't believe
that it would get there. They davened, but they didn't believe that their tefillah would work.
Hashem was listening to them.
No. Shelo heminu sheyasigu mevasam b'tefillah. They didn't really think that their tefillah is good. That it really is powerful. They didn't believe in the power of prayer. They didn't believe that you can change a situation. They didn't have emun in tefillah.
Their emunah was lacking.
No, emun, not emunah, emun. Emun. Do you know what emun is?
No, explain. Sorry,
emun means, there's a maima I once saw of Rav Chatzkul. Rav Chatzkul said, we would all do tshuva if we had proper emun in tshuva. I'll tell you what he means. You would never in your life turn around and say, let my child watch whatever he wants, let him eat whatever he wants, let him go, whatever, and he'll turn out to be a tzaddik. Why? Because you have emun in chinuch bonim, right? you would have trust, you would never turn around to your wife and say the most terrible things to her and expect to have shalom bayis. Because why? Because you know you have emun in the principles
of trust between the two.
You would never in business lend in ribis and take any money under the table and accept that Hashem will give you a pound also. No? You would never smoke 100 cigarettes a day and say, Rebbeinu, give me tshuva, give me your fush. That's emun, you have emun. Now, do you have emun in tshuva, that it really works, that it really makes a difference? That's the point. That what you're doing really works. That's the point. That's tefillah shleima. What I'm doing can make a difference. Emun. Hear the point?
Yes, of course.
That's the point. It's a very powerful point. You daven, you say the words, and I have tremendous tzara, but what I'm doing is actually going to make a difference, what I'm doing, what I'm saying. That's the answer.
Is it confidence or is it absolute?
No, it's trust. It's
emun.
Trust in Hashem.
Okay.
But what I'm doing is something that can make a difference. In other words, if I have a good lawyer, it'll make a difference. No? If I don't have a good lawyer, if I have a good doctor, it'll make a difference. That's the point.
Okay.
That's hitting the point.
Let's break it out. One of them believed that, you know, this can work. I don't think we're allowed to believe that it will work, because Hashem will do what He wants to do. Period.
I don't agree. I don't. My power is my. I can ask Hashem to make a difference, and what I say, He will follow through with it. It works. It makes a difference. And my part, what He does, is something else. For my part, I have a moon that the prayer works. That's what Matthew is saying.
Are we working on the emun in Betachon sheets of like the Ramban if you believe it's going to happen? The Hasnish says Hashem will do what He wants to do.
But that's his. But for my chelet, where do I stand in it? That's the point. What do I think as I'm doing this act of when I'm standing here dabbling? Do I really think it works? Do I really think it can get somewhere or not? Let's look at the words. Let's look at the words of it. Let's read it through carefully. I think this is really perfect, perfect, precise prayer. Ki bevadai hiskavnu heite b'tfilosam. Ela shelo heminu sheyasigu es mevukosham b'tfilosam. Hagam shemikinos libam zot. Both of them cried out to Hashem. Hoshiyenu v'nivoshea. Avolo shiru ba'atzman shebe'emes yivoshu. But they didn't really believe that it can really work. We have tremendous tzoros in Klal Yisrael. Ne'esofim b'nei amenu rachmanim b'nei rachmanim l'ispal elach. We daven for all people in Klal Yisrael. Achenu b'nei Yisrael. Hanasunim batzor v'shivim. B'shoitchim libam noichach p'nei avim sheba shomayim. Ve'af al pikein chosro lochem ha'emuna b'koyach atu. You don't really believe that the tefillah can work. Ke'ilu k'va'a b'ichim al ha'osam. We cry over the tragedy. We cry over the tragedy. We're crying over the tragedy that's happening. Look what's happening. The hostages are being held there. What a tragedy it is. How was a tragedy it is. Below me, not but really HaKadosh Baruch can save them, but the tragedy, look how great the tragedy. That's not the point. That HaKadosh Baruch can actually save us. They think that always the answer will come about by some other reason. Because of a certain doctor or oyachdin mischakim or a clever lawyer, ella psuke hatfili matfila heim heim makor hayushua v'zehu tfila shleima. That's called tfila shleima. No? What I'm doing is the greatest ishtadlus of all. When I'm saying these words, this is the real poil. This can turn things over. No? Is that what it means? Vayeta Yitzhak Lenoichach Ishto Kiyako. He begged, he entreated, HaKadosh Baruch, you are the one who can give me a child, and therefore I'm turning to you, I'm davening to you. That's the Koyach of Emunah. That's hitting the point, no? Do I really believe what I'm doing is the right Ishtadlus? I think that's the Nukudi here, no? To believe what I'm doing is going to work. I think that's what he called Tefillah Shleima. Let's go on. Kasher kulanu aimdim lifnei yom hadin. Must have been for Rosh Hashanah. V'yesh lanu nisboinein halbe amatzavenu. V'chi ein anu miyudem la'alois v'galdam. Maybe one of us, v'achas v'sholom, are people who chayim yisoloi v'achas v'sholom. Harei kol echad v'echad nimtza v'sakona atzuma. V'omdoi l'mishpat lifneim ha'melech ha'mishpat. Asher alkei nochutz lanu v'oid l'islam. You have to learn the principle. That's really what I brought you. That's not more. There's another page, just a few lines or so. That's called Tefillah Shleima. Tefillah Shleima is what I'm doing is going to work. It's going to make a difference what I'm doing here. I'll give you a proof of it. Remember the Maisa with Chana, with Shmuel? When Eli told her that this child will have to go, because Shmuel was Paskin Hanofa in front of Eli, and it wasn't, he was Moed Barabbah by saying something. So Eli said, I'm afraid this child will have to go, we'll get you another child. Chana to a man and so El Hanara Ze Hispalalti. This is the child I daven for. I don't want another child. This child is the child I'm davening for. Meaning, and she saved the child because this child is saturated with my prayer. All my prayers are in that child. You give me another child, that's not the child I daven for. Everything that I've done is for this child. In other words, I put all my prayers inside this child. This is the child I daven for. I often think when a person gets to a certain situation, I often tell girls in a seminary, when I teach in a seminary, when you walk around the chosen, and you're in, under the chuppah, this is the chosen I daven for. You must realize this is the result of your prayers. You know? When you walk around and you say, you know, that you, whatever you're saying when you're walking around the Bedekim, you turn around and say, this is what I daven for. This is the result of my prayers. To be able to say that is an incredible achievement. To reach the point of saying, I got it because of my tefillah.
Is this similar to what happened with Avram and Haran? Avram Avinu, he went into Kivshan Ha'esh, he had Tefillah Shleima.
Ken.
And maybe Haran didn't have Tefillah Shleima because he only after the act he decided that he was with Avram.
I'm not sure what you mean by with Aaron.
There's a midrash that says that, okay, Avram went into Kivshan Ha'esh, he was saved, right?
Correct, right.
And Haran was killed.
Haran. I thought you said Aaron. I misunderstood you. Haran. Yeah, but he was two-faced. You know, if he's the winner, then I'm the winner.
Right.
He wasn't really genuine. That's the point.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't know.
He didn't have the trust. He
didn't have the trust before even.
Yeah. Perhaps that. He wasn't genuine. He said, if Avram gets saved, then I'll be on his side. And if
right.
not, then I'm. Yes. I think so.
But, he's really, what David's saying. I'm also troubled, but I don't want, because Rav Matzio was saying this, but. Isn't there also a concept in Tula? We can't tell Hashem what's good for us. Hashem knows what's good for us.
Hmm.
So on one hand, there's an element that we need to daven and say, Rasha, let me accept whatever you decide is best for me. I can't tell you what's best for me. It could be that I daven, I don't get answered. But what really happened at the end of the day was actually best
for me. That's immaterial to me. That's immaterial. What Hashem does with my prayer is his cheder. What I do with my prayer is my avoid. I think there are two different sides to it. From my side, I completely believe and trust in what I'm doing is going to make the difference. What Hashem does with it is something else.
So that's the Ishtadis side of it.
The Ishtadis is
what happens, it could
it's
be.
Not me, it's not to me. It's not to me.
We have to at least believe that it.
Right, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Gimel. Listen to this pasuk. B'tachel Hashem b'chol libecho ve'el binosra al tisha'ein. Translation is, trust in Hashem with all your heart. And in your own seichel, don't rely. Don't rely. Says the Vilna Gaon on that pasuk. Don't use your hishtadlus like a mishenas, like a walking stick. Don't rely on it. You rely on your prayer. You make a hishtadlus, but you put all your lave into your prayer. And that's a very fine decision. You definitely make a hishtadlus, but your heart has to be in your prayer, meaning, b'tachel Hashem, all your heart in your prayer. But when you must make a stempel of hishtadlus. You must make the proper hishtadlus. But your heart is in something else. Isn't that really the answer? Where's your heart? Is your heart in your effort? Is your heart in your prayer? I think that's where the difference comes out. It's a very major difference in prayer. I think people like cry over the tragedy and they're upset about what's happening in the situation. But is your prayer focused that it will make a difference? No? That's what he calls. I think it's very focused in his answer about Matisyot. Extremely focused in what he was saying here. You know, the ability to be able to see something exactly. What am I doing here? Is my avoider going to make a difference or not? I'll give another example. At the end of the Megillah, you remember, at the end of Perek Tes, so Esra wrote to the Sanhedrin, Kisvuni Ladoros, write me down for the generations. And then at the end of the Megillah, it says as follows, Esther said, L'kai mesimei ha-Purim, and she said, the days of the Purim are divrei tzomos v'zakosam, matters of fasting and crying. That's quite remarkable. After all the happiness and the Yehudim Ha'isa'ayah B'simcha B'ayah Shushan Ch'ala B'sameicha, all the tremendous, she turned around and said, these are days of fasting and crying. What does she mean by that? She meant as follows, that we managed to achieve success because of our fasting and because of our prayers. That's what made the difference. It wasn't because of any other hishtadlus, the fact that Mordechai was there, but the prayer made a difference. That's being very focused, no? She saw that the remedy came about through prayer. And that's the answer. With all the razzmatazz and all the excitement and all the dressing up and everything in Purim, Purim is l'maisa Yom Kippurim, meaning that on Yom Kippur, you come to Hashem with all the inuyim and all the fasting, al-chet shechaton al-fanecha. On Purim, you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha and ava and reyas and matonas debyonim. It's a different sort of a, but the panimius comes out, no? The real panimius comes out. What really is the focus is what you're thinking. And the tefillah was the essence here, I think. And that's what Esther was saying. Esther is telling us that these are days of, it worked, the prayer worked. It didn't fail us. I think that's the nekuda which we have to come out with. I think that's a very big avoid of it. It's being very focused in your prayer. That's what I learned from this passage of Matisyon. I find him unbelievably focused in his words. It hits a point here. Be able to see exactly this. It's called Emun. I think it's called Emun, no? Emun in the mitzvahs, Emun in the tefillah. I think actually, in reality, David HaMelech said these words when he says, Tuv tam bodas lamdeni, ki b'mitzvah secha hemanti. Let me have a tam tov, and then I will have Emun in your mitzvahs. To have Emun, I believe that they're good. If I have a tam tov, if I enjoy my learning, I'll have trust in your mitzvahs. I'm convinced of them. But you need a geschmack, no? But the emun must be there. If you don't have emun, how can you survive, no? How can a person doesn't have emun in Torah mitzvahs? He does it all. It's all practice. It's all rope. It's all social.
It's all by rote, automatic pilot all the time.
It's very hard in davening to daven all the time and to mean the words rather than this is what I'm chanting. It's a ritual. This is what I do every morning. I put my tefillin on. But to think that it actually makes a difference, you know, that's the point. Sorry?
As the Bava Chereva says, the top good design
good. No, but it's ability
to think positively.
To think positively about your prayer. Yes, yeah. that's
to amazing. Have put that into your field.
Yes, yes. That it work, it's going to work. It's going to make a difference. What I'm doing is really an act which makes a difference. It's not just a ritual. It's not just I'm coming to daven in the morning. and I'm doing my job and I have to do like a Jew does. No, it'll make a difference what I'm doing. If I daven with kavana, it'll make a difference. And that's called tefillah shleima. I know it will work.
Only by in the Megillah you're not supposed to talk. Focus.
Yes, you're focused.
You focus on the whole of the Megillah. You don't miss a word.
Right.
So if we're doubling constantly for something, we're not necessarily seeing that it's working. Does that mean we just keep going, or does it mean we have to change the approach? Or?
No, but you don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with your tefillah, isn't it? That's the famous Maisa with the Shnei HaKatla. Rav Shnei HaKatla was very, very sick. So several Talmid Chachamim came to ask the stipler that he should daven for him. And they said, we've been davening for many, many years or something, and many long tefillahs are being there. So the stipler came and said, we have no idea where the tefillah will go. Sometimes a tefillah definitely works. Maybe this year, maybe next year, maybe for a family, maybe for Klal Yisrael. It makes a difference, but you don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with it. You don't know where the tefillah... No, you don't know where the tefillah will go. There's a beautiful moshel of Shmuel Humina. He writes in a Sefer Avodah Zarah, the beautiful moshel. A man goes into a store to buy himself a suit. And he's standing there, it takes him half an hour, and he can't find a suit. He's depressed, sits by the counter, he's like, I can't find. Another man comes in, and he's there, 5 minutes, he chooses three suits. He says, Mazeh, Makolekan, I've been here for half an hour, I can't find. You find three suits in 5 minutes, how can that possibly? So he turned around and he said, you don't understand. He said, I have three sons. One is shorter than me, one is fatter than me, and one is bigger than me. It's not good for him, it's good for him. It's not good for him, it's good for him. In other words, whatever, it'll be good for somebody. That's an equivalent. It'll be good for whatever. It won't be good for me, it'll be good for somebody else. But the tefillah will work. It'll have an effect. I don't know who will get the benefit from it. That's the equivalent which comes up. Let me just share with you another Maisa, which with Matisio, which I thought that was remarkable. I remember once he came into Harnoff, just the Maisa Shahoya. This is the point I wanted to bring down here, but he was so incredibly focused. He came to speak in about three different areas in Harnoff, three different shuls, and they were all to B'nai Torah, a very high standard. As he was leaving, I noticed someone asked him, will you come and speak in the Kollel of Balei Tshuva? And they were very much beginners, people who didn't know. He walked into the Kollel. I don't think he had any idea that he was speaking there. I had any idea at all. He walked in there and he said the following words. Listen to people who are literally starting off in Yiddishkeit. This is what he said to them. And the three shiurim which he just said previously was very deep, deep shiurim to B'nai Torah, very deep shiurim. He walked in and this is what he said to them. Listen to this mice. He said, in England, the Queen of England, every summer has certain garden parties. And it's a tremendous privilege in England to be invited to the garden parties. So imagine there's a couple living in Stamford Hill, and all of a sudden the invitation comes in the mail, and it's got the royal stamp at the back, and it's an invitation to Her Majesty, please turn up on Monday morning, June the 17th, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning, or whatever time it is, and the Queen is expecting you. So they go and buy a new hat in Harrods, you know, they're all geared up and everything. They turn up at the door, Mr. Cohen, you're expected, please come in. And you walk around the garden, and there's all hundreds of people around the garden, all of a sudden. And this is what he said to these people. I don't think he planned anything at all. You walk around the garden, you know, and all of a sudden you see Her Majesty in the corner, looking around, and she waves to you, and you wave to her, you know, and you walk past, and the hundreds of people, and then after about an hour or two, a man with a big schleimer comes along, rings the bell, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, please leave the garden, please leave the garden. So everybody has to be out in 5 minutes. You have to be out of the garden, out of the Buckingham Palace garden. You go out of the palace, out of the palace. Now, for the next 25 years, what you talk about at the Shabbos table, you know, what the Queen was wearing and what it was like in the garden and the roses, you'll talk about everything, you'll now talk about it. So, Mamatisio as follows. One thing is for sure, you should remember one thing. You will never, ever forget Her Majesty, but it's impossible that she will ever remember you. She sees so many people, it's impossible that she will ever, but you will never remember, never forget Her Majesty. He said as well, eventually, after 120 years, you're going to want to go to another garden. Now, in that garden, you should know something. You will never, ever remember that you benched so well 25 years ago. He will never forget what you did. You will never remember the mitzvahs that you do, but he will always remember what you did. Incredible chizuk, he said. He didn't mention aveiros, he said mitzvahs. He didn't mention that what you did. He'll never forget. You said Amen Heshmeh about 30 years ago with Kavan. He'll never forget what you did, but you will never remember. Such a beautiful lesson. I felt that's an incredible lesson to Bali children. To hear something. What I do is never forgotten. The effect of what I do is always very focused in this comment. I found that very, very Very true. You know, he will never, she will never ever remember you, but you will always, you will never forget her. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever you do, you should know he'll always remember you, and you will never remember everything that you do. A focused person, I found him very, very focused. These are the points which I wanted to bring about. We'll stop here, Rabbi Yisai. The greatness of the Matisyon.